I'd like to turn to the book of Job. The book of Job will be in the 38th chapter. We're all, of course, familiar with the story of Job and the sufferings of Job. We first find that everything's going good for him. He had wealth, he had family, he had friends, he had health. Most importantly, he had endorsement from God in Job chapter 1 and verse 8. The Lord referred to him as my servant, Job. There is none like him. He's blameless, upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Again, that's what God said about Job. But as we know, tragedy would come upon him. He would lose everything. Chapter 2 and verse 8, we find him sitting among the ashes. He's lost his 10 children. He's lost his wealth, his health. And there he is, scraping his boils with a broken piece of pottery. In chapter 2 and verse 10, we read, "And all this did not Job sin with his lips." So Job still has not sinned in his speech concerning this tragedy. While he was sitting there in the ashes, his friends arrived. We're told in chapter 2 and verse 11, that they had come to mourn with him and to comfort him. And we see that they wept with him for 7 days, and for 7 days they didn't say a word. We read there in Job chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. In Job chapter 3, Job breaks the silence there in verses 1 and 2, basically saying, "I wish I had never been born." And then in chapters 4 through 31, we have continuous record of Job's friends speaking with him or to him, and we see his response to them. We know that they made many accusations against Job. And Job, in defending himself against these accusations, began to insist upon his own righteousness. And he began to think that God perhaps was treating him unfairly. And he challenged God to appear before him and talk to him face to face. So now we see, by the time we get to our text, we see that Job is analyzing, he's questioning God, he's even questioned the goodness of God, the fairness of God. Again, Job had challenged God. He wants God to speak to him. Beginning with chapter 38, God does speak to Job. We see in verse 1, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee an answer thou me." And God asked Job nearly 200 questions in the rest of the book. They were rhetorical questions designed to make a point. The point being, God is bigger than Job. The lesson in these questions, and we've preached on these questions before, God is in sovereign control. These questions reveal that fact. Over and over, God reveals this truth to Job. He is teaching Job that God governs all things in His wisdom and in His power, and that all things are by God's design. He asks these questions to reveal His own greatness to Job, and He also asked these questions to reveal to Job his insignificance. And we see that Job did learn that lesson. As you see Job's response to the questions, "Behold, I am vile." And so Job began to see the greatness of God. He began to see the insignificance of himself. With these questions, God is reminding Job, "Job, you need to just trust me. You just need to trust me." And he is reminding Job that he's the answer. We see in several of these questions, he asked Job, "Where were you when I created? Where were you when such and such happened?" Now notice in Job 38, and we just want to read the first part of verse 22. This is one of the nearly 200 questions. "Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow?" Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? We preached on this about 6 years ago, but here is just one of the questions that God put to Job. A question regarding snow. And we want to speak tonight on that subject, the treasures of the snow. The treasures of the snow. The Bible makes 24 references to snow. And no doubt, snow means different things to different people. To children, snow means fun, perhaps a day off of school. To others, it means, well, perhaps I'll get a day off work. To many, it's just considered an inconvenience, and you may wish that it never did snow. And when it does snow, you may enjoy it for a few days, and then you're ready for it to be gone. But snow means means different things to different people. But no matter what you think of snow, it is one of those things that God uses to teach us the greatness of God. In fact, weather itself teaches us the greatness of God. And snow is a reminder to trust God. Now notice God's view of the snow. Whatever our view is, notice God's view. It is seen in that word, treasures. Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? A treasure conveys the idea of riches. Hast thou entered into the riches of the snow? Hast thou entered into the value of the snow? A treasure can be a work of art. A treasure can be a masterpiece. Treasure speaks of a depository. In other words, there's things that God has deposited in the snow. Now notice here in verse 22, hast thou entered into the treasures, plural, of the snow? Treasures. Not just treasure, but treasures. The snow is filled with the riches of God. It is one of the great things that God does that cannot be comprehended by man. It is one of the miracles of God. Notice in Job 37, and we'll come back to these, Job 37, verse 5 and 6, and we'll look at these verses again later as well. Job 37, verse 5, verse 6. God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he, which we cannot comprehend. For he saith to the snow, be thou on the earth. Not only says, be thou on the earth, he tells it where to go and how much to fall. He saith to the snow, be thou on the earth, likewise to the small rain and to the great rain of his strength. He sealeth up the hand of every man. That is, God uses these things to stop man in his tracks, and all that all men may know his work. So we see it's one of the great things that God does that is beyond human comprehension. It is also one of the manifold works of God. Notice in Psalm 104. Psalm 104 and verse 24. O Lord, how manifest are thy works. Is not snow one of the works of God? And then notice what it says. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So the snow is one of the innumerable works and masterpieces of God. So think about those words, the treasures of the snow. In the snow, likewise with the rain and the hail and the wind, in the snow there are valuable treasures. Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? There are treasures in the snow that will edify us, that will bring us comfort, that will encourage us, treasures that will enrich us in knowledge and in understanding. The question to Job and to us is not, have you seen snow? That's not what he asked Job. Nor did he ask him, have you experienced snow? But the question is, has thou entered into the treasures of the snow? Have you personally experienced the spiritual riches of the snow? Job, have you ever considered snow? And these are things we need to consider. There are treasures of the snow because in the snow we are reminded of its maker. It is God who is the provider of the snow. Again, Job 37, verse 6, for he saith to the snow, be thou on the earth. He speaks. He speaks. And it snows. Psalm 147, verse 16. Again, God is the provider of the snow. Psalm 147, verse 16. He giveth snow like wool. He giveth snow like wool. Psalm 148 and verse 8. Fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind, and all these things have this in common, fulfilling his word. God speaks, let there be snow in the earth, and the snow, the rain, whatever it is, fulfills His Word. That teaches us that God exercises sovereign control in the rain, the wind, the frost. God exercises sovereign control in the snow. And I believe that's one of the treasures of the snow. We are reminded of its maker. And in being reminded of such, we are reminded that God is in sovereign control. Snow, like rain or hail, is a miracle of God. You know how offended God must be for anyone to ask or anyone to even question whether or not there are miracles? We see miracles all the time. And we've become so accustomed that we don't even recognize. Anything God does is a miracle. It's a supernatural. That's a miracle. Notice in Job chapter 5. Job chapter 5. Verses 8 through verse 10. I would seek unto God, and to God would I commit my cause, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number, who giveth rain upon the earth. This is one of the things that he does that are unsearchable. Marvelous things without number. He giveth rain. Likewise with rain, he gives snow and he gives hail. In order for it to rain, water has to be carried up into the sky and released back to land. Who is it that carries the water up into the sky? God. Who is it that releases the water? Who is it that decides where the water will be released and how much? It's all God. He carries it into the sky from the lakes and the seas and the rivers and the ponds and etc. He does so by evaporation. You say, well, that's the laws of nature. Yes, it is. And who set the laws of nature? God did. And who is it that causes the laws of nature to work, that he established? God. How does he cause them to work? All he has to do is speak. And they fulfill his word. So, he carries the water up into the sky by evaporation. That means that water kind of stops being water for a while. It becomes vapor. So it can go up. That is how, of course, clouds are formed. Clouds are made up of millions of tiny water droplets which cling together. So God carries this water up by evaporation. But in order for it to rain, he has to send it down to earth. Condensation happens. Again, yes, the laws of nature. But again, who established and who rules the laws of nature? Condensation is basically changing water vapor back into water again. And who is it that does that? God. How does he do it? He does it by expanding and cooling the air. And the water accumulates, it becomes too heavy, at which point it falls to the ground in the form of rain. God uses the same process of evaporation and condensation to cause it to snow. Rain is a miracle. Snow is even a greater miracle than rain. Though he uses the same process, snow is very miraculous. A snowflake is formed inside of the clouds, When drops of water freeze and become tiny ice particles, the water vapor in the cloud gathers on these particles, causing it to spread into a hexagonal prism. Infinite variety of designs. And you have a snowflake. But a snowflake may be made up of one or several hundred ice particles. Eventually, it becomes too heavy, just like rain, and falls several thousand feet to the ground. But in order to remain a snowflake, it must remain at or below freezing all the way to the land. If it doesn't, it turns into sleet. Different temperatures and humidity levels along a snowflake's journey to the earth or to the ground influence the shape that it takes. So as that snowflake is journeying to the ground, God is shaping that snowflake. God is using temperature. God is using humidity to shape that snowflake. It is God who works all things to shape a single snowflake. And such is a great wonder and a miracle of God. Now, the God who does that certainly cannot work all things to shape our lives, just as he does with that snowflake. God's hand is in each and every snowflake without a single accident. That snowflake falls all the way to the ground, not a single accident. Not a single mistake along the way. It is designed exactly how God meant it to be. And the maker of each and every snowflake can certainly guide our lives. The God who sends snow can certainly guide our lives. The God who can create snow can certainly have the answers to our problems. And we said that snow is really a greater miracle than rain. 1 inch of rain per acre, we're told, equals 3,630 cubic feet, which is 27,155 gallons, approximately 113 tons per acre, 1 inch of rain. That's a lot of weight. 1 acre. What if God just dumped it all in one house? He doesn't do that. Or what if God just dumped it on one person's yard? 113 tons of water on your yard. That's not how God operates. If 1 inch of rain falls on 1 square mile, that would be 27,878,400 cubic feet of water, which is 206 billion gallons of water, which is a little over 1.5 trillion pounds. That's heavy. That's heavy. God brings it all up. God sends it all down. And thanks be to God, you can say, well, we really got dumped on. No, you didn't. If God dumped it on you, you wouldn't be here. God spreads it out. God carries it up, brings it down with ease and with precision. Now we said snow is even a greater miracle, because on average, 1 inch of snow or 1 inch of rain equals 10 inches of snow. Oh, the miracle of snow. The miracle of snow. God is doing something that man cannot comprehend. Rain and snow is a display of God's control. It is a display of God's omnipotence. It is a display of God's wisdom. And thank God, again, He does not just dump it. And thank God it doesn't just fall randomly. God sends it. So there are treasures of the snow when we consider the provider. And what God does to provide the snow. There are also treasures of the snow because it is a reminder of the precision and the diversity of God. Man likes, and when I say man, we're really referring to God's people. We have a tendency to create a box and put God in it. That's our tendency. But each and every snowflake is a rebuke, and we shouldn't do that. Each and every snowflake is a work of art by God Himself. As God forms and designs the snowflakes and the clouds, causing ice crystals to come together, He does so with great precision, but He also does so with great diversity. Snowflakes always have six sides. And similar to the human fingerprint, no two snowflakes are alike. Each has its own ornate structure. Each has its own unique pattern that will never be repeated. 1 inch of snow over an acre of land is a lot of snowflakes. That's a lot of snowflakes. I mean, how many snowflakes are there in a snowstorm? Who knows? But we know this. God created every single one of them. And He did so with great variety. Now, someone has figured that a million billion, that's one followed by 15 zeros, cubic feet of snow falls to the earth each year. I mean, this guy had to have a lot of time on his hands. I don't know how accurate he is. And that a cubic foot of snow, and how, I mean, I'm just throwing this out there, is roughly 1 billion snowflakes. I'm sure he didn't even try to count. But it's beyond number. When you consider a snowstorm, the amount of snowflakes is beyond number. It's infinite. And each one of them was created and designed by God. Each owes its origin to God. Each owes its existence to God. Again, they're all different, showing us that God is a God of great variety, and we're reminded of this throughout the Scriptures. We read in Psalm 104 and 24 of the manifold works of God. Manifold, numerous, diverse, various, assorted. We're also reminded of the manifold wisdom of God in Ephesians 3 and verse 10. And we're also reminded of the manifold grace of God. You see, God doesn't just show His wisdom in a few areas. His wisdom is manifold. God doesn't just give grace in a few different areas or in a few different ways. God's grace is manifold. You cannot describe it. You cannot define it. You never know how God might do something. Don't limit God. The one who makes the snowflake, don't limit him. Don't limit God. Don't measure God by the size of your problems or what you think your problems are. Don't put God in a box. There are treasures of the snow because it is a reminder of God's plan and purpose. Each and every snowflake, each and every drop of rain, each and every gust of wind, each one is by the plan of God and has a purpose. One of the purposes of snow, of course, is to provide insulation from sub-zero freezing temperatures. But God designs that snowflake. God commands it, sends it with a purpose. It does not snow. It does not rain without God having a purpose. Every time it snows, it's because God purposed it to snow. God uses the illustration of the snow to remind us that the Word of God also serves a definite purpose. Again, one of the treasures that we find in the snow is the purpose of God. In Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. In verse 9, he says, let's read verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. And that's our problem many times. We think that God thinks like we do. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. In other words, God sends the rain, he sends the snow for the benefit of man. For the benefit of man, he does these things. But then verse 11, so shall my word, that is just as the rain and the snow is sent forth with a purpose, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. Every drop of rain accomplishes what God pleases. Every snowflake accomplishes what God pleases. And so it is with the Word of God. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. It shall do according to the purpose that I have sent it, is what God is saying. Now, each one of us are designed and made with a purpose. We need to realize that. We're all designed by God, made with a purpose. And the reason so many people are so miserable today is because they refuse to live according to God's purpose. You will never be happy or satisfied until you realize that we are to live for God's honor and for God's pleasure. That's how to be happy in life. Live for His honor. Live for His pleasure. Fourthly, there are treasures of the snow because it is a reminder of purity. Snow has a cleansing effect on the atmosphere. And it is likened to the forgiveness of sins in Psalm 51:7 and in Isaiah 1 and verse 18. He shall wash us to where it will be whiter than snow. The snow, when it first falls, is white. And God uses the illustration of snow, the whiteness of the snow, as a picture of forgiveness. But He says, your sins will be forgiven or cleansed whiter than snow. So as we look at the snow, that's a treasure. The forgiveness of God. Also, there are treasures of the snow because it is a reminder of God's power. Each snowflake, just like each drop of rain, is insignificant in and of itself. One drop of rain will not hurt anyone. One snowflake cannot cause you any harm. One drop of rain, one snowflake cannot cause you any inconvenience. But there is a great power when God accumulates these things. One snowflake cannot stop you. But when God accumulates them, it can stop you. One snowflake cannot inconvenience you. But when God accumulates them, it can be a great inconvenience. Job, again, if we go back to chapter 37, Job 37, verse 5, "But God thundereth marvelously with His voice. Great things doeth He which cannot comprehend. For He saith to the snow, Be thou in the earth, likewise to the small rain, the great rain, to His strength, of His strength. He sealeth up the hand of every man, that all men may know His work." That is, God can send a rain, God can send a snow that stops everything. One snowflake cannot shut down a city, but God can send enough of them to shut down an entire city. God, one snowflake is not going to disrupt the plans of man. But when God sends enough of them, He can disrupt the plans of man. God's in control. This is a reminder. God's in control. Then the beasts go into dens and remain in their places. God sends a heavy rain, God sends a heavy snow, and it causes the animals to seek shelter. Who's controlling those animals? God is. "Out of the south cometh the whirlwind, and cold out of the north. By the breath of God frost is given, and the breath of the waters is straightened." There is great power. We've all witnessed the power of weather. We've all experienced the power of weather, whether it be wind, rain, snow, does not matter. All through the Bible, God uses these things. God uses weather to stop man. God uses weather to execute His purposes. We see He did so with the children of Israel in Egypt. And we see it throughout Israel's history in the Old Testament. God sending the wind. Sometime do a study on the wind. And all the ways that God uses the wind. These things don't happen by accident. God's in control. And God asked Job, "Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow?" Although snowflakes are very small, when God brings enough of them together, He can change the course of men. He can change the plans of man. We've all seen it happen with weather. God can shut down everything anytime He pleases. He can shut it down. You can make all the plans you want. And all God has to do is send some rain. And you get mad at the weatherman. The weatherman didn't have a thing to do with it. Not a thing. Don't get mad at the weatherman. Don't. And the weatherman, he acts many times like he's the one who sends the weather. Like we should thank him for when it's a nice day. And he doesn't want to be blamed when it's not. And he has nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. All he's there to do is to guess what might happen. And that's all it is. Because God can change it any time. I'm here to tell you, if God wants to, he can send snow in a 108 degree day. If he wants to. The provider and designer of the snowflake, the God of the snow, is never without the resources that you and I need. I mean, you think of a snowflake. And you think of billions and billions and billions of snowflakes. God is not without the resources that you and I need. The provider, the designer of the snowflake, the God of the snow, he can handle any of our problems. He can handle any of our troubles. The provider and designer of the snowflake, the God of the snow, he has the answer. And that's basically the point that God is making to Job with all these questions, is I'm the answer. Job, you're not there when the goat gives birth. Did you cause the sun to rise? Did you cause it to set? No, Job, you didn't have a thing to do with it. And you don't have a thing to do with this either. We need to be reminded of the greatness of God. And this is just one of those many questions. Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? Shoveled a lot of treasures off our driveways this past few days. But we need to look at the snow and the rain and the wind. Just small, small examples of God's power. You think of a tornado, a hurricane. Just small examples of the power of God and how quickly God can send these things. He has the answer to whatever the question is. He has the answer. And all of these questions, and this one about the snow as well, is a reminder. We simply need to just trust God. Just trust Him. Trust the Lord. Again, He's never without resources. He's never without the resources that we need. He's a God of great variety. Don't put Him in a box. Don't limit God. Psalm 78, I believe it is, the Lord accuses Israel of limiting him. Of limiting him. And we do that. Well, God won't do that. That's limiting God. That's limiting God. We realize God's not going to do anything contrary to His nature. He cannot deny Himself. But you and I do not fully understand the nature of God. God's not going to do anything contrary. He's not going to sin. He's not going to do anything contrary. But don't limit God. Don't put God in a box. You know, all forms of weather serve as a reminder of the greatness of God. We serve a great God. The God who sends... The farmer knows it's God that sends the rain. Many people may be too ignorant to know, but He knows. And that is the God we pray to. He can send the rain, He can stop the rain. He can send the snow, He can stop the snow. He can send the wind, He can stop the wind. But it's all in God's control. And so it is with everything. It's all in His control. The sooner we learn that, the happier we will be. The sooner we learn that, the more useful we become. That God is in control. And whatever God does is good. You and I don't have to understand it. Whatever He does is good. No matter what. Brother Jim, if you come and lead us.